on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Gotta cut you down. Welcome to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio, 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history, going right back to the front lines of history in the making. And I want to go back to the January 6th commission and to the portions of the hearing and the evidence that was set out yesterday. And I've got to tell you that I have a concern, and I have a concern about the makeup of the committee, and it has nothing to do with Republican and Democrat. Liz Cheney is superb. Adam Kinzinger is superb. But sometime right around that airing yesterday, the chairman, Benny Thompson, seemed to say that the committee would not make a criminal referral on Trump to Merrick Garland. He was asked a question, you know, would you consider a criminal referral? And he said something like, well, we don't do criminal referrals. We just give the evidence and they make up their mind. And Zoe Lofgren, congresswoman from California, who was chairing part of the hearing yesterday, Benny's a congressman from Mississippi, went along with that. Immediately, though, Congressman Luria of Norfolk, Virginia, Liz Cheney herself, Adam Schiff, Raskin, all said, wait a minute. We haven't made that decision at all, and we may very well make a criminal referral. I am concerned that we have passive people who have simply aged out, and they go through the motions, and they're passive-aggressive. But because of seniority and because you want diversity, you let them chair things and you let them do this and that. That happened in the Judiciary Committee. Dianne Feinstein, California. Many people on her staff have said she's really losing it. She was the ranking member when they rammed Amy Comey Barrett through during the lame duck. And she went up and hugged Lindsey Graham after and said, what a great hearing. And everybody in the Democratic Party said, are you out of your mind? Are you out of mind? They just rammed through a justice during lame duck when they wouldn't deal with Merrick Garland. There's got to be a lot more attention paid to aggressiveness and merit on who we put on these committees. This committee should not be chaired by Benny Thompson. It should not be chaired even for one time by Zoe Lofgren. It should be chaired by Adam Schiff, Raskin, Liz Cheney, or Congressman Lurie of Norfolk. People who are aggressive and are animated and are not passive aggressive. I think what this points to, and this is my own assumption, but on that committee, after all this evidence comes in, you'd have to be blind not to refer this to criminal prosecution. Why do you think you're doing this, Benny and Zoe? Why do you think you're doing all this? Trump was told by everybody, you lost the election. There wasn't fraud. Why don't you spend the next 4 years saying we've got to tighten up election rules and keep campaigning? The day of the insurrection, people from Fox News, Laura Ingraham, Sean Hannity were calling to Meadows saying, you got to stop this. Don Trump Jr. said it. Kevin McCarthy said it. All of Trump's allies said it. The fact that he's bullied them since then into shutting up or switching their positions doesn't belie the fact that what happened happened. You can't have Benny Thompson and Zoe Lofgren sitting there clogging the drain. Very passive. You know, well, we're not going to make any decisions. we'll just present all this to Merrick Garland. Well, Merrick Garland's passive himself, quite frankly. Now, he did say something in response to a reporter's question yesterday. He said, I am watching all of these proceedings, and so are the Justice Department prosecutors. Well, I hope that that was a nice indication of aggressiveness of what people are going to do. You know, people can ultimately say, well, I'm not going to prosecute a former president because he has such a substantial base of support that there would be violence and it would result in effect, a de facto civil war. But we can certainly do everything in our power to make sure he does not run again. There's another thing, just sit there passively, tiredly, and go, well, we're just doing our job. It's above our pay grade. We got to say, come on. Come on. Look at Liz Cheney. Liz Cheney will go down in American history as one of the bright lights of our Congress in the 21st century. And somebody with enormous courage. Tremendous courage. She's 30 points behind a hack Republican in Wyoming now because Trump and Kevin McCarthy have gone in and ganged up on her. Do you think Benny Thompson or Zoe Lofgren could have or would have done what Liz Cheney's doing? I don't. Let's start having more aggressive people in there. And it can be a lot of different people. Yes, Adam Schiff and Raskin. But Congressman Luria, the woman from Norfolk, is very impressive. Liz Cheney is beyond impressive. Have Adam Kinzinger chair one of these things. But you have these tired placeholders. You have Dianne Feinstein. The Republican Party has plenty of them, too. Chuck Grassley doesn't know what's up from down. He's running for his seventh term. If he gets in, he'd be in Senate for 42 years. He chews his cud. He just sits in a corner chewing his cud. Strom Thurmond was 98 or 9 years old, actually turned 100. You know, the lights were on and nobody was home. And his chief of staff cast his votes for him. We got to stop this. And it hurt us in the Judiciary Committee when Dianne Feinstein was the ranking member and hugged Lindsey Graham, thanking him for what? Ramming through Amy Comey Barrett? Give me a break. So when we took the Senate, you know what happened? The ranking member always becomes the chairman. Schumer took her into his office and he said, I got some bad news for you. You're not going to be chairman. We're not going to have another repetition. Why don't you announce you don't want to be chairman? So she went out and announced that. It's time to replace her in California. And Zoe Lofgren and Benny Thompson are very fine people. But they should not be in charge of this kind of a mission. And I just want to put that on. It's extremely important, but that is the way it is. The Republicans, by the way, aggressive isn't the word for it. Rick Scott, the Republican senator from Florida, who used to be their governor, he's the head of the Republican Senate Campaign Committee raising money for Republicans, had the temerity, the guts, to call on Biden to resign. And he released ads attacking Biden, a wartime president, stabbing him in the back, and promoting Rick Scott's, quote, Rescue America plan. You know what his Rescue America plan is? Make sure that poor people, even the poorest person, pays at least some taxes to have, quote, skin in the game, end quote. And Rick Scott is the guy who was the head of a Medicaid provider that was fined over $1 billion for Medicaid fraud. And when he was brought before the grand jury, you know what he did? He took the Fifth Amendment. He said, I refuse to answer on the grounds that might incriminate me. Took the Fifth. Then the clown runs for governor. Democrats said, hey, he took the Fifth. People in Florida, the Republicans go, well, that's okay. That's okay. He must be a good businessman. Joe Biden's being attacked by our own party. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez announced the other day she won't endorse Biden for 2024. Let me tell you something. He's being knifed in the back by the squad, by the Islamo left of the Democratic Party, and by the Republican Party. So that means he's doing something right. He's a good man, and as a matter of fact, he is our best candidate for president in 2024. Yes, he'll be advanced in age, but so are Konrad Adenauer and Charles de Gaulle back 60 years ago. He's the only one that could beat Trump or these other people. The other characters that would get on the stage are not going to beat any of them. Biden is very experienced and done a very good job. A very good job. Putting NATO together, standing up to Russia. Great job with the economy. Inflation here is not as severe as other countries. Full employment. We need Joe Biden in the presidency, and we do not need him stabbed in the back by Rick Scott, this clown from Florida, or Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in the squad. We need Democrats. We need good Democrats. Going to a break. You're on the lines. Do not hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789.
We'll be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Direct, our lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Going to the lines, Bill of Shorewood, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind? A Bill of Shorewood.
Hi, Matt. I have a question for you as a great lawyer that you are. Yesterday, toward the end of the hearing, it became clear that Trump was scamming a bunch of donors by keeping the big lie alive. He sent out hundreds of emails to his various lists asking them to donate to a defense fund so that the election could be overturned. Within the first week, he collected $100 million. Eventually, the sum rose to $250 million. My question for you, Matt, is now that the scam is exposed, can these donors form a class action suit to get some of their money back? And secondly, is Trump liable under the wire fraud statutes as a criminal matter? Thank you.
Thanks, Bill. Excellent questions. And the answer is yes and yes. And there are other statutes as well. Let me give you a couple of analogies. In this case, you know, he raised $250 million. He paid his son's girlfriend, Kimberly Guilfoyle's, Don Trump Jr.'s girlfriend, $60,000 for giving one 2.5-minute speech. That's 150 seconds that somehow upheld the big lie. But more to the point, and more importantly, some of that money has gone to it, and it's been shown publicly, to Trump hotels, Trump business enterprises, and very little of it was spent at all. In fact, not much that I can think of on any legal proceedings, which is what he was promising to overturn the election. Now, give you some history and some background. And a lot of people may say, well, you know, he had pretty broad discretion on what he was going to do with it. Well, not exactly. You remember Steve Bannon started a fund and they were going to build the wall and what they did with Mexico. And he raised millions of dollars and not all of it, but some of it, certainly well into the six figures, was paid to him and some affiliated enterprises. He was criminally convicted for that, for fraud. And he only snuck out because Trump pardoned him. And there are many instances There's some scams that'll call you up and they'll say they're raising money for the police or for children somewhere. And 95% of it goes to staff salaries. It's basically just an engine to get money out of you. Some classic examples a long time ago, the classic was a guy puts an advertisement in the paper and he says, send me $5 and I will send you a copper engraving of Abraham Lincoln. So he raised a lot of money. He'd get your $5 and he would mail you back a penny. The penny is a copper engraving of Abraham Lincoln. He went to jail for that. In other words, yes, technically that's what it was, but that didn't pass the smell test. Another guy just sent out an advertisement saying, please send me your dollars. So they said, people sent him their dollars. There was a state senator in Milwaukee back in the 50s and 60s, one term, who would send out these fraudulent solicitations and say it's for this, and he ended up being criminally prosecuted. So Trump says, and here's what his defense would be, and yes, they can certainly put together a class action. Class actions were easier to do back in, say, Bill Clinton's day and so forth. The Republicans have attacked and attacked and attacked. There has to be a commonality of purpose and a commonality of interest. And defense lawyers opposing class actions are experts at trying to pick it apart and say that, well, they all differed in some respect. But my view is, yes, that could be a class action. And then what you do is you'll have, you know, John and Alice and Mary and Harry, they go, well, I sent in $50. I sent in $100 and I expected them to use it to stop the steal. I didn't expect them to use it to pay to one of his corporations or his son's fiance or girlfriend or whatever. The defense lawyers will say, well, you know, stopping the steal involved a lot of things. He had to travel, he had staff, blah, blah, blah. But if I were a judge, I'd let it go to a jury. I wouldn't dismiss that out of hand. What he did is fraudulent. He did this partially to raise money. Partially to raise money for a couple of reasons. One, a nest egg to run again in 2024. But the other one was simply because he needs cash. He is he's not liquid. And frankly, I don't think he's as wealthy as he says he is. And this is a way of scamming cash out of people. So thanks an awful lot for calling in. Excellent, excellent point. You know, we talked about in the past how Republicans have injected violence into our political discourse. Trump saying, well, Hillary Clinton, the Second Amendment people should take care of her. Her bodyguards should be disarmed. Encouraged his crowds to beat up protesters and said he'd pay their legal fees. Well, and then Lauren Boebert, Paul Gosar had some kind of a video out in which he kills Ocasio-Cortez and then he attacks Biden. I would have prosecuted him for that because that is just a representational way of threatening violence. Lauren Boebert got up in front of a church crowd the other day and she said, every day I pray for Joe Biden's demise. Demise. And I pray, may his days be few, quoting a psalm. Well, the psalm in question goes on, and it's much even tougher and worse than that. But in the psalm, it talks about your enemy, and an enemy for good reason. Joe Biden's a wartime president. He's a wartime president. There's a varying degrees of sophistication in how the Republican Party advocates violence. But they are advocating violence. They're advocating death. Dr. Fauci and his kids have to have security. A lot of people in the Democratic Party have to have security. Health commissioners in some states. Polling officials in some states. Now, when you say, I pray for his demise and quote the psalm, is that actionable as a threat? Probably not. Probably not. There was a famous case, I don't know, 20, 30 years ago, where some people down in Kentucky or West Virginia got together and they prayed for somebody's death, and they had a voodoo doll and they stuck pins in it. And the DA was encouraged to prosecute them, but he looked at it and he said, you know, it's kind of just metaphorical. It's kind of representational. But here's my point. Why test the boundaries of the law? Where has our democracy gone? Where you can have Lauren Boebert, a member of the House of Representatives from Colorado, praying for the death of the president. That's treason. A wartime president. You can disagree with the president. You can disagree with certain things. But advocating his death from a high position like Congress gives ideas to disturbed 18-year-olds. They, the Republican Party, has re-injected violence in our politics for the first time since it appeared after Abraham Lincoln's election in 1860. And it's got to stop. Going to a break. Lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Chris of Poinette, my friend, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Matt. treason is the worst crime that you can commit in America, correct?
Yep, I would say so.
Well, if we can't convict for treason immediately, what does that say about any other crime in America?
Right. You're talking about the January 6th commission, right, Chris?
Absolutely. Every single person associated with the January 6th commission, somebody that took notes on it, should go to prison.
Right. Here's the deal. And let me tell you, as I size this up, I'm very glad you called that in. People are approaching January 6th as somehow just a political issue and you're on one side or the other. That was a violent blow against our democracy. Can you imagine if, let's look at it this way. Let's say the Democrats had done that after 2000. That was a crooked election where you had the hanging chads, where Florida deliberately had put on the ballot discontinued lines, so you thought you were voting for Al Gore and you were actually voting for Pat Buchanan, that kind of thing. And then Bush still didn't only won by 500 votes out of millions, and that is such a small margin, the U.S. Supreme Court stopped the recount, okay? Now, let's say then there'd been a riot on the Capitol, we'd attacked. What do you think the Republicans would have done? They would have gone nuts. They said they're violence. They would have prosecuted people. What are we doing? What are we doing? Yes, we've arrested about 800 people. Yes, about 250 of them are being prosecuted for felonies. Some have gotten jail time and so forth. But this was a coup against the United States. That is treason. That is treason. That's why it's baked into the 14th Amendment itself after the Civil War, that if you committed an act of insurrection against the government, you can't hold a position of trust or confidence in our government, which would include the president. What I am concerned about, Chris, and I mention it at the top of this particular hour, is the passivity of some people in the Democratic Party, including on that committee. Benny Thompson and Zoe Lofgren seem to say they might not even make a criminal prosecution. They're just going to go and say, well, our job, our job is only to investigate here, Garland, Merrick Garland, you do it. And Merrick Garland has been, in my view, kind of timid in how he's approached some of this stuff. He hasn't prosecuted any of the fake electors. None of the fake electors have been prosecuted by Merrick Garland or any state attorney general. And yet they crookedly and falsely sent in certifications saying that they were the electors. Here, this reminds me, I mean, I love the Pink Panther, Peter Sellers, Inspector Clouseau. I like the movie Johnny English. And, you know, you get the bumbling detective and he comes in with a magnifying glass and a Sherlock Holmes hat on. And he's peering at the doorknob and everything. And there's a dead body right under his feet. And he doesn't even look at the dead body. And he goes, maybe there's something wrong here. That's what's going on here. How much, you know, this business of, well, we got to get to the bottom of it. It's the bottom of what? This insurrection occurred January 6, 2021, a year ago. Almost a year and a half ago. All of this stuff is coming out. It's been known, a lot of it, for a while. And everybody just saying, well, we're going to view the evidence with great interest. How many dead bodies you got to see? Trump right away said that he was not going to concede the election, that it was a fraud. Brought 60 lawsuits, 6-0. 60 lawsuits. The judge said, no, you got no case. And some of them, he fined the lawyers for bringing frivolous claims, and in several, the lawyers are going to have their license to law yanked. Trump said that it was people in Italy who used a satellite to change the votes, people in Germany who had something to do with it, in the Philippines, Hugo Chavez of Venezuela. Hugo Chavez died 5 years before the election, by the way. He was lying. Everybody in his campaign except Giuliani and the abnormal team said he was lying. They didn't call him a liar. They said, you're mistaken. Crooked William Barr even said it was crazy and he was detached from reality. I don't think he was detached from reality. He knew exactly what he was doing. He raised $250 million so he could steal some of it for him and his family. And he ginned up the insurrection so he could declare martial law. And the only thing that stopped him at the end, the only thing that stopped him was that when he wanted to put in a corrupt attorney general who would go along with it, the rest of the Department of Justice said, we're all going to quit. And that would have put the end to it. That would have put the end to it. So Christopher Poynette is exactly right. How much more evidence do we need? At some point, when you are so weak-willed and passive, you're not going to stay in power. And if you turned over to the Republicans, and I'll just spring this on you right now, the word is now that some of the Republicans have been meeting in leadership to launch an impeachment of Joe Biden when they get in. For what? For what? An impeachment of Joe Biden, what, for building up NATO? When Trump was going to take us out of it for winning the election and not accepting the big lie. And it won't win. It'll pass the House if they have the majority. It'll go to the Senate. They need 67. They're not going to get 67 votes. The Republican Party is creeping towards fascism. The fog creeps in on little cat's feet. A famous line from a great American poet. The fog creeps in on little cat's feet. Fascism creeps in on little cat's feet. It doesn't take corruption of 50 states. It only takes corruption of 6 states. Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, Georgia, Arizona, maybe Nevada. Just lawyers in 6 states and crooked legislators, legislatures, gerrymandered. And some Republican governors, and they can take over American democracy. You've got to stand vigilant at all times, the way George Washington stood vigilant. Going to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today? Wisco Paul.
Good morning, Matt. Hey, I'll say this on how the hearings are going. You have a gentleman, Michaels, running for governor in this state, and is proud to take Trump's endorsement. So that'll tell you a little bit about how things are getting across. Trump's endorsement and other Republicans are looking for his endorsement. So, hey, with that, yesterday there was an article in CBS Market Watch that a third of the inflation in this country right now is attributed to the Russia-Ukraine war, a third of it. That helps inflate gas and other things. And one other thing that a lot of people don't seem to realize, these container ships that float the Pacific Ocean, the majority of them are owned by China companies. And I think, if I got my article right, that China also owns a stake in some of the Pacific ports. That to me is a little scary. But anyway, they're making so much money with these container ships, they're running them over here full, running them back empty, which means we're importing more than we're exporting. It's just an amazing thing. But they've jacked their rates up really high also. So, when you start looking at the situation of how much China owns in this country, that ought to set up some alarm bells too, but doesn't seem to. Also, on a real positive note, I think in this state, Governor Tony Evers is doing a really good job. I think he's going to get reelected over these other four that are running on the Republican side because he's a blocking mechanism. And I'll just throw this in Arizona. I'll just spray it all over the wall. The biggest thing I wanted to say was the CBS Market article there. But I think Biden may not run, and it's too early to tell. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, thanks for that, Paul. Well, first of all, I think Biden has to run because I don't think any other Democrat who ran last time had a prayer of winning, including Bernie and Elizabeth Sanders. And if Biden doesn't run this time, who are you going to have? Kamala Harris or who? And they're going to do what? Run again? I don't see it winning. I think Biden has to run. He will want run. He's a very fine president. And he's being stabbed in the back. He's being stabbed in the back by the Republican Party and by the left of the Democratic Party. So that's number one. Number two, you raise a very interesting question about this Michaels who's running for governor. I want to tell you my theory on it. There's a guy named John Torinas, who is a very well-regarded business reporter in Milwaukee. He wrote a fascinating article in Urban Milwaukee, which you go online and look at Urban Milwaukee. Bruce Murphy's, it's frankly the best investigative journalism in the state. John Torinas took issue with Michaels, with the Trump endorsement. He said, Michaels had the ability to be a consensus Republican candidate like a Tommy Thompson who would restore some Republican ideas, for instance, on the economy, but not the Walker type ideas of Foxconn and turning down $1 billion in Medicaid and turning down $1 billion in train money, but other things. But he said in taking the Trump endorsement, what he did was, and then running ads, which Michaels is doing now, attacking immigrants. He's going to build the wall and all this kind of stuff. And then attacking pronouns, people who want different pronouns. All he's doing is sucking into the Trump thing, and it could hurt him in a general, might win him the primary. I agree with Torinas, and I'm going to go one step further. I think we need a blocking tackle, sort of like Evers, to veto, but we also need vigorous leadership. Michaels, if he had done like the guy in Virginia did and get the Trump endorsement and then never mention Trump and then just go on other issues, that's one thing. He would have won the primary anyway. And then in the general, he would have been a tough candidate. But now what he's doing is trying to suck up to Trump. I think it'll hurt him in the general. And I think it helps Tony Evers. Listen, there are people on the line. We're going to a break. Do not hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot of people on the lines. I will get to all of you in this last segment. Try to boil it down to about a minute and a half each. Thank you for calling. We're going to start in order. Jesse of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Jesse of Madison? Jesse of Madison?
It's Betsy.
Oh, Betsy of Madison. Betsy, good to hear from you.
Yeah.
Sam put you down as Jesse. Good to hear, Betsy. That's What's on good. Your mind today, Betsy?
Oh, I had a question about Dianne Feinstein. There was an article about her. She might be cognitively. Nice way to put it. I don't know.
She's a little slow right now, Betsy. And, you know, I think the world of her. She's had a great career, but I think she's a little slow. The New York Times had that. She hugged Lindsey Graham after he rammed through Amy Comey Barrett and said, what a great hearing. I mean, I don't think she was on top of it, Betsy. I really don't. And that's why Schumer replaced her. And she did it voluntarily, of course. She's a wonderful person, but you know, I think she's 88 or 9. Yeah, what do you think?
No. Well, she's got a birthday coming up. She's going to be 82.
I don't think so. No. I think she's late 80s. Take a look at that again. She's late 80s. Grassley's worse. Okay. Grassley will be 96 or 5 or something. And God bless them. Wow. I'm not an ageist, but I think you got to have people. You're at the top of their game. Betsy, thanks a lot for calling. I really appreciate. Next up is Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Bill?
On the governor's race, boy, I know I'll try and keep it to a minute and a half. A couple of quick things. I think Alex Lazary, if I'm saying his name right, would be the perfect choice for our state. Tony's done a great job. But he's too passive for me, way too passive for me. He's got to get in the face of the Republicans and just gavel in, gavel out and say, make a big deal of it and say, this is how the Republican side of the fence works for you, the taxpayers of Wisconsin. He's got to start showing us what they're causing our state by their lack of cooperation. And I don't think Alex would put up with that. As far as Michaels goes, I worked for that company. We did some contract work back with AT&T after I retired, and they're a good company. I know I haven't met Michael Kim personally, but I know the guy right below him in the corporation. He hired me. I want to say to him, Tim, you had the chance to be the next Tommy Thompson, and because of your political agenda, you went toxic and supported Trump. Trump's going to be toxic to most of these guys. I don't know how long it's going to take them to figure it out, because these January 6th commission hearings is just destroying any credibility they had left. I want your thoughts on that, Matt.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. And what I said about John Torinos's essay is exactly right. In other words, when Michaels came along, that is a good company. And he was a good friend of Mark Murata, a very good friend of mine who is Secretary of the Department of Administration under Jim Doyle, and who was touted as a potential governor candidate himself. And then he died tragically of a heart condition about 6-7 years ago. But I met Michaels, and frankly, he could have been a Tommy Thompson. And if a Tommy Thompson came along, and Frank, if the Tommy Thompson, instead of being 80-something, were 50-something, he'd be very, very tough. But the fact of the matter is, if the choice is between Evers and Ramphin or Nicholson or the Duchess of Foxconn, you can't have those three characters get in. And I'm beginning to wonder if people are going to even want Michaels, and I'll tell you why. If Michaels were smart, he would have done what the guy in Virginia did. The guy in Virginia who won basically took Trump's endorsement but never mentioned it, didn't run it in ads, didn't meet with Trump, and so forth. And so Trump's vanity was assuaged. But at the same time, Trump wasn't in everybody's mind. Michaels is running on Trump's endorsement, and he's saying he's going to build the wall. And you know, it's not racism to say that immigrants can't, you know, get, he says, benefits. What? Their kids can't go to school? Are you kidding me? Let me tell you something, guys. Let me tell you something. If every illegal immigrant in this state disappeared tomorrow, the cows in the state wouldn't get milked, okay? You go to the agriculture in this state, and you, especially in places like California and elsewhere, there's got to be a system of work visas. But you can't just, these are human beings. You can't. And I think Michael's making a big mistake doing that. You're absolutely right. Evers is vetoing what he has to veto. You know, his personality is what it is. But, you know, you have to choose between what you're offered. It's not like, oh, there's a buffet here of a million things and I'll pick what I want. No, that's not going to happen. There's going to be a Republican and a Democrat, and that's going to be it. That's going to be it. So I agree with you. I agree with you. And I would like to see Evers win this gavel in, gavel out business, or they're attacking him or yelling at him. He is a bully pulpit. There's 72 counties in the state. Go into every one. Go into Voss's home district and say how bad the gerrymander is hurting us and what he's doing. The reason you're drinking cancer water, and the reason economically that they, you know, Foxconn, for Pete's sake, $4 billion on a napkin. Walker didn't know what the hell he was doing. And Nicholson, the Duchess of Foxconn is the cheerleader jumping up and saying, we're the girls from Foxconn High. We don't smoke and we don't drink. Okay. Okay. And we're talking governor. And, Evers could go around and do that. He's not doing that kind of stuff. But he's vetoing what he has to veto. We can't have Nicholson, Ramtin, and the Duchess. And when it comes to Michaels, I agree, it's a great company. And Michaels himself has the capacity to be a Thompson, but he's not showing it. He's showing Trump characteristics. He is showing venomous Trump characteristics. And that'll kill him in a general. He'll win the primary. I think he'd win the primary anyway, but that will kill him in a general. Thanks a lot for calling in, Bill. We're going next in line. Mark from the SAC, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today? Mark from the SAC.
Yeah, I'm a little hesitant to say this, but I wonder how many, quote-unquote, illegals Michaels has hired for himself or, you know, looking at his construction company in the past, because I've seen a lot of roofers and siders and all this. And
Trump did that, too. Yeah. He hired illegals, and then he ratted on them and threw them out of the country. Unbelievable.
You know, because they're young, mostly young men that I've seen, that work hard. And like you said, I mean, our friends from south of the border that come here for a better life, to try to become citizens or just to work here, they're hardworking and they have a good work ethic, and that we should be making changing our immigration laws to get people in again. I mean, that we wouldn't have a problem with illegal immigration, people coming across illegally, if we had a efficient process of letting people into the country to come in here and work. And let's face it, our population is aging out, and we need more young people, and we need more people in general. And just because these people happen to be brown of skin, likely that we should welcome them in.
Right, and again, I'm telling you, you go to the farms in the state, you know how many people who are immigrants are milking those cows? The vast majority of them. You throw them all out, those cows are not getting milk. Crops are not getting harvested in California. Who do you think makes the beds in motels? Small motels in small towns in Oklahoma and everywhere else, and in Wisconsin. Who does this work? These are good people, and they're hardworking people. We need work visas. In other words, yeah, we need it legally. This isn't right, what's going on. But the Republicans filibuster work visas. That's what's going on. And they won't engage on the issue. Coming to the end of the show, great callers as always. Matt Flynn, direct. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. I'm signing off for today.